The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
A time comes in the history of souls, as of nations, when forbearance ceases to be a virtue and self-respecting life is only to be retained through defiance of and rebellion against existing customs. A profound quote from Paul Sequoia Roche. And to follow that up, from Martin Luther King, a time comes when silence is betrayal. That time is now. This is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org. Global Alert News Hour for April 29th, 2017. As always, I state, this is a commercial-free news hour, one-hour news program paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org to try to cover as many hard-hitting, essential frontline-breaking stories as possible in that time. This show is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM, and this show is rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network. Again, my deepest gratitude to Gary Null for all he has done for the common good and for this radio network that he has helped to establish. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections and at the KQMS archives. The Global Alert News Hour is about facing reality head on so that we might yet have a chance to awaken populations to what is unfolding, so that we might yet have a chance to alter our current course of ecocide, genocide, and omnicide. And I use those words often because that's exactly what we face. If you don't believe that, you will soon. Wait and see. We're only asking people to investigate what we say on this show, not to believe any of it, but to show the courage and the fortitude and the sense of responsibility to actually investigate and then ask yourself what you can do for the greater good, to change this course of direction. Those that want glossed over stories to help them remain in denial are on the wrong news show. The clash between reality and willful denial grows by the day. We don't live in societies that base their perspectives and conclusions on facts. Rather, ideology, bias, preconception, and denial rule the day. The willful, blind, order-following individuals in our society have been the backbone of power structure, crimes, and destruction of the planet that has pushed life on Earth over the edge. And how long do we have if we remain on the current course of certain near-term self-destruction? In a society of blind, honorless order followers that don't want to face reality, that's why we're in the shape we're in today. And for those of us that are truly committed to waking others to unpleasant but necessary to face realities. How many times have we tried to share dire news with those that immediately reject such news, no matter how verifiable or credible that news is? How many are there in our completely programmed society that are compelled to believe their only responsibility to the whole is to think happy, self-serving thoughts and to pretend that all the converging catastrophes we face will somehow magically go away? Let's consider and remember that such thought processes of denial are not the sign of a healthy mind. Rather, the hallmark of a healthy mind and healthy character is noted in one's ability to face the most dire truths without turning away, without retreating into denial. That, again, is the sign of a healthy mind and character. A few more announcements to finish. Orchard Nutrition Materials and newly released book, Geoengineering, A Chronicle of Indictment. That's available at Orchard Nutrition for $25, includes a DVD, and the publisher that has helped that book to happen, to whom I am very indebted to, all proceeds from that book go 100% into the cause. That's a 725-page book, but not the kind of book you need to trudge through the entire text of. You can open it to any page at all and read through very digestible, bite-sized pieces of information that will add to the dots you have to connect and make a bigger picture of. So it's a very simplified book in that form, available at Orchard. Also, there are free DVDs on the vaccination danger issue, and I'll get to some more dire stories about the that are unfolding on the vaccination front right now. But you can also, with information that we have, and not just my book, but any book that matters, any book that's about what's happening in the world from a realistic perspective, can be donated to libraries. And we should all engage in this. The Reading Library has some of the Geoengineering Watch climate engineering informational DVDs already. They have a book as well now. Other libraries, I know activists that are donating books to those libraries as well. We can all try to reach radio announcers, groups, individuals, organizations that don't know what's going on around us and share data with them. And that's the goal. That's why geoengineeringwatch.org tries to provide as much informational materials as we can to help sound the alarm, period. I want to announce also on Monday, May 15th, I will be at what's titled a Patriots meeting at 3276 Pacelli Lane. I believe that's 6 p.m. on Monday the 15th. And I will be there to give an update on the climate engineering cataclysm that's happening on our planet, along with all the other sources of human damage to the planet. And there'll be a Q&A session there, a very long Q&A session, because we're going to have a short presentation and try to answer everyone's questions about what's really happening in the environment. Frontline, hard-hitting data that anyone can verify if they simply try, if they simply take the time to find out what's happening and what our media, and especially here in Northern California with the Record Searchlight and KRCR, who have stated on the record that they will not cover under any circumstances some of the dire issues that we are trying to bring to public awareness. What kind of media is that? Does that not make them criminally complacent? Does that not make them in some sense a criminal accomplice to some of the things that are going on? If any of us knew about a particular crime and we didn't disclose that crime, does that not make us guilty? Why do not the same laws apply to these media people who are simply will parrot anything they're told for a paycheck and a pension? Activists, again, can help us to get the word out, speak to radio stations, organizations, media stations, individuals, anybody who will listen. And on that note, 50,000 geoengineeringwatch.org color informational flyers went out in the Sacramento Bee newspaper yesterday as an insert. My most sincere thanks to Deborah Whitman for spearheading this, Deborah Whitman from Environmental Voices, and also the dedicated activist who helped participate with that as well. I'm not sure she wants her name disclosed, so I'll forego that for the moment. Earth Day that we just had last Saturday, April 22nd, was productive in regard to the effort to sound the alarm on climate engineering. But I would encourage all the environmentally minded people that attended that or who had booths there to please, if you truly care about the environment, face the biggest untold story of all, face the most destructive untold story of all that we can see above our heads every single day if we simply choose to look up. We must face climate engineering, and if you claim to care about the environment, if you claim to care about the climate, you can't have a legitimate discussion about either without first and foremost including climate engineering. I want to make mention of Jason and Justin from Washington, who came 11 hours to visit the geoengineeringwatch.org booth at the Earth Day event. 11 hours. My sincere regard to Jason and Justin for such a dedicated effort. On to headlines and the disasters we most immediately face, and there are many, far too many to cover in this news hour, in fact, but as always, every week I try. And when I start with headlines about our current president, I want to have a few things kept in mind. This is not in any way condoning any other candidate or any other president. When the current president is criticized, which he absolutely deserves to be criticized, it is not condoning any other administration. They're all criminals, all of them. They're all part of the power structure. And also we must remember that anybody who occupies the office of the presidency is simply a puppet dangling on the end of the power structure strings, period. But because that's the name that's been put on our current presidency, that's the name I will use to criticize the actions that are being undertaken under that office. So let's start with Mr. Trump, who has just stated a major, and I'm quoting, major conflict, I guess he wants to drive that point home, with North Korea is possible. Yes, of course it's possible. when you do everything you can to make sure it happens. And that's what our military-industrial complex is doing. The totally propagandistic military recruiting commercials, by the way, designed to appeal to those that want only to wave their flags with no real idea of what's really being done in their name and in the name of, quote, U.S. interests, which means, what's that mean, the bottom line? The interest of the criminal cartel central bankers that currently rule and run the world. And if you buy into the absurdity, if you buy into the simplistic military recruiting propaganda, and you believe you're being patriotic by blindly supporting the completely out of control military industrial complex, you're sadly mistaken and you're part of the problem. Patriotism is not about blind nationalism and blind ideology, not patriotism. And what do we have with the media lies to us, not just about, and Korea has a very psychotic ruler, nobody argues that, but how does it help to secure any sort of global stability when you do everything you can to prod that ruler into starting a conflict? But that's what the military-industrial complex needs. That's what's good for business, conflict. It's about time the American public wake up to that fact, and that the media is being used as a tool to galvanize that public into one insane endeavor after another, year after year, decade after decade. Let's go back to a story that I covered a show or two ago about the supposed Syrian chemical attack that was blamed on the Syrian government without a shred of proof ever being produced, and much of the American public bought it. So what's happening on that story now? Western states, listen to this, Western states block Russia's initiative to investigate Syria chemical attack. Why would they block it? Perhaps for the same reason that they did no legitimate investigation of 9/11 for 440 plus days? Because those who carry out crimes don't want investigations of those crimes, of the Syria false flag attack that was the excuse for Mr. Trump to launch some missiles, I think 59, and try to provoke conflict. That's what he's there for. He's the figurehead of the military-industrial complex right now, and their job is to create conflict. For follow-up on that story, Russia continues to insist on investigation into the chemical attack in Syria's province, Idlib province. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. However, Western countries blocked Russia's initiatives on the matter. Think about that one. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, without explanation, blocked Russia's suggestions to send experts to the area of the alleged chemical attack, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said. Blocking the investigation. Does that look like a country that wants to know the truth or wants its population to know the truth? Absolutely not. And who's currently fueling global conflict on countless fronts? I want to say this again. Whose military is expanding and encircling other countries all over the world? What country's military is invading and or occupying over 150 countries with military bases stationed in them? A great many Americans need to take a long, hard look into the mirror. And protecting, quote, U.S. interests is not a justification for looting, plundering, and pillaging other countries. And to clarify, U.S. interests means banker interests, which means the interests of the military-industrial complex cancer that's currently consuming the world. And what will it take for Americans to wake up and face the truth? And for those caught in the realm of programmed dichotomous thinking and thus assume that if one criticizes, i.e. me in this case, the actions of their own government, that this somehow implies support for other governments? No. You are wrong with such conclusions and such dichotomous thinking. I am not condoning the actions of any other government. I'm simply criticizing the actions of our own government, which deserve intense criticism. All governments are completely corrupt, but that corruption, and thus the threat, is in direct proportion to the size of the militaries involved. It's in direct proportion to the amount of money involved. And I ask this, which country is inarguably at the top of both of those categories? Yes, the USA. So I would then ask this. As the proverb goes, how can we ask our neighbor to take the splinter from their eye when we have a log in our own? We need to look in the mirror at what our country's doing. Another reminder for those who are waving blindly waving their flags, take a look over your head and consider that your own government is spraying you like lab test subjects with highly toxic elements that are part of the ongoing climate engineering, aka weather warfare programs. If you don't believe this, you have not investigated. We've provided materials for this investigation. Geoengineeringwatch.org is a data repository. No politics, no advertising. If you care, investigate. I met a former U.S. military man and his wife at Earth Day who were from the Philippines, and they told me this. They stated that 75% of Filipinos were aware that the U.S. military and NATO were conducting climate engineering weather warfare programs in the Philippines. Let's ask this with that in mind. Is it just a coincidence that the Philippines is being hammered with one record weather disaster after another, over and over and over? Let's consider this final question then. Is it any wonder that the new Filipino president wants to kick the U.S. out of their country? Is it any wonder at all? We have the Middle Eastern countries, as I've stated show after show after show, who have stated publicly on the record, on the floor of the UN, that their countries were being decimated with weather cataclysms by NATO weather modification programs. Is it a coincidence that every single Middle Eastern country that has been destabilized and toppled, just as Wesley Clark said he was told they would do 1 week after 9/11, he named those countries. Every single one has been toppled, just like Brzezinski, presidential advisor going all the way back to Johnson, stated would happen, the grand chessboard. Is it a coincidence that each of those countries has gone through a once-in-1,000-year drought before this destabilization? When people can't eat, they become quite hard to deal with. And this is a part of the equation for the U.S. destabilization of nations to loot, plunder, and pillage their resources. Here's more headlines of hypocrisy and absurdity. The UN just elected the largest oppressor of women of all, Saudi Arabia, to the Women's Rights Commission. How completely absurd is that? From that report, in oil-rich Saudi Arabia, women are treated as lifelong dependents under the guardianship of a male relative. Deprived of the right to drive a car or mix with men publicly, they are confined to strictly segregated lives of pain and severe punishment. Saudi Arabia, who has had 93 of its citizens given a free ride home after 9/11, no questions asked, no interviews done, no interrogations whatsoever. Saudi Arabia, who hangs public dissenters from cranes with their heads cut off, and yet they're on the Human Rights Council, and they're now elected to the Council on Women's Rights, the Commission on Women's Rights. This is the Orwellian world we live in. And who's supporting all that? Guess who? The United States of America. Time to look in the mirror. More headlines of absurdity. UNICEF reaches almost half the world's children with life-saving vaccinations. Now, this is an organization our government supports as well. And Bill Gates and others support this organization. So it says, here's the first headline, and you need to consider this with the second headline. UNICEF reaches almost half the world's children with life-saving vaccinations. First headline. Second headline here. Study just released. DTP vaccine associated with up to 400% increase in infant mortality risk. How great a contradiction is that? That our media tells us that we're giving these life-saving vaccinations to the poor children around the world. And the next study says they're dying 400% faster when they're given the vaccination. What does it take? When you inject toxic materials into a human being, what happens? Some that are stronger might fare okay and not have too much damage done, but others are dying, quite literally. 400% increase? That's astounding. From that report, when mortality was compared, the mortality hazard ratio among 3 to 5 month old children having received the DTP vaccine were compared with not yet vaccinated children. The vaccinated children showed a 400% increase in mortality. How shocking does the information need to be? I want to continue on this theme. National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, think about this, protects vaccine manufacturers from liability. Consumers cannot sue them. Another point, in 2011, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that drug companies were to be granted total immunity from liability even if their products were knowingly contaminated, stating that the vaccinations are, quote, unavoidably unsafe. We don't hear much of our media talking about that, do we? Another point. Over $3 billion has been paid out for deaths and injuries by the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program in the U.S. Another point. The vaccine court hears cases in U.S. Court of Federal Claims about injuries from vaccines. It is a, quote, no-fault compensation system. There are no juries. Appointed special masters decide outcomes. Consumers are taxed via the vaccine sales, and the tax is used to pay for vaccine injuries and deaths. Consumers, let's summarize, basically paying to poison themselves or have themselves poisoned by the medical industrial complex. This particular point continues. Instead of vaccine manufacturers paying for those awards for death and injured subjects that have been vaccinated, petitioners do not have the same legal rights as in the U.S. court system, vaccine court petitioners. They pay a maximum of $250,000 for wrongful death from vaccinations. Would you feel okay about that? A vaccination killed your child and they give you $250,000. Would that be okay if you are lucky enough to even get into this court at all, this kangaroo court set up by the medical industrial complex and the power structure that controls the world? I want to continue with this point. So you get $250,000 for wrongful deaths from vaccinations, and they dismiss 80% of all cases presented to them. They dismiss it. Buying the claimant's silence is a common stipulation to receiving any compensation. If you agree to not tell anybody that a vaccine killed your child, they give you $250,000, maybe, if you're one of the 20% that makes it that far. I want to continue these points because this is a fight for life. The FDA doesn't require vaccine manufacturers to test vaccine adjuvants, that's additives, for safety. No required safety testing. Another point. The U.S. government won't do a controlled study. Won't. They won't do a controlled study on the health of completely vaccinated and completely unvaccinated children. They won't do a comparison because they can't afford to have the results of any such testing to be discovered and publicized. Another point. CDC employee Dr. William Thompson witnessed his colleagues destroying data he was told to lie. He came out as a whistleblower in 2014, you know, the Vax film that everyone has a responsibility to see. And he was asked to be subpoenaed, but Congress still has not called for a hearing. They will not let him testify. Are other governments doing the same? Yes. Deliberately concealing information? The answer is yes. Here's a verifiable fact. Official documents obtained from the UK Department of Health and the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization reveal that British health authorities have been engaging in such practices for 30 years, proven on the record, hiding vaccination dangers in the UK. Here's a point to go with that. China fined the British pharmaceuticals giant GlaxoSmithKline almost $500 million, for almost 500 million, almost half a billion, for a massive bribery network. Did we hear about that here? No. Who's helping to hide the truth about the lethal vaccination dangers? I think it's all clear at this point. Our government, our media, the medical industrial complex, all of them in bed together. Another point, Rupert Murdoch is the head of a multinational news empire, News Corp, and has deep connections to the vaccine industry. No surprise, is it? His son, James Murdoch, and mother, Elizabeth, and daughter-in-law, Sarah Murdoch, are business partners with Lloyd Blankenfein and Thomas H. Glossier, all have ties to vaccine industries. The news of vaccinations is much controlled and completely biased. Final point. Rupert Murdoch's son, James Murdoch, managed the Sunday Times, who is also on the board of GlaxoSmithKline. Rupert Murdoch's son, media mogul, Fox News, on the board of the medical industrial giant GlaxoSmithKline, which makes the MMR vaccination. Who smeared? Dr. Andrew Wakefield, one of the most exceptional human beings, I would argue, to ever walk the face of the earth and who I am deeply honored to know and have had the deep privilege of conversing with, interviewing, and trying to help him with his cause. Smeared by a completely corrupt media source whose owners are on the board of the vaccination manufacturers. Dr. Wakefield has made unimaginable sacrifices and endured unimaginable persecution in his relentless attempt to expose the truth about the lethal vaccination dangers. And Dr. Wakefield's efforts should serve as a stellar example to all of us. William Shatner, the most recent target of the media industrial complex in bed with the medical industrial complex. Here's a report and a headline. William Shatner targeted by vaccine bullies in vicious campaign to silence tweets about autism. Not just Dr. Wakefield, who is targeted for trying to tell the truth, also William Shatner and anyone else who dares to question the power structure insanity, who dares to question the official narrative, who dares to have the courage to stand up from the herd and state exactly what's going on, all immediately persecuted. And as we consider the very dire dangers, proven dangers posed by vaccinations, we must also constantly keep the bigger picture in mind, the incredibly toxic, ongoing climate engineering, weather warfare assault that's going on over our heads every single day, the illegal spraying of heavy metals, polymers, and chemicals from jet aircraft that are part of a climate engineering insanity, is completely contaminating the biosphere and the breathable air column, thus every breath we take. We can hide from vaccinations to some degree, at least in some states, not California anymore, but we can't hide from the air we need to breathe. In addition to completely contaminating our air column, it's also derailing the climate system and Earth's life support processes. There's nowhere to hide from this onslaught, and we must remember this and continue, thus to keep the fight against climate engineering as a top priority. On that note, the air we breathe, here's another headline. New fears over damage from air pollution in blood system. Now, when you inhale these particles, and we have internationally recognized bioscientists, neurologists like Dr. Russell Blaylock, and anyone can investigate what I'm saying, please do so, stating on the record that the fallout from climate engineering is so damaging and enters right through the olfactory nerve, right into the bloodstream, crosses the blood-brain barrier. That's why we have statistics like dementia as the number one cause of death in the UK, and not saying there's not other peripheral causes, but when something contaminates every breath we take, that is mathematically by far the greatest causal factor. When our air is full of aluminum, barium, strontium, in the case of aluminum, peer-reviewed study linking this to dementia, autism, Alzheimer's, everything that we see going exponential, and lab tests prove it's in every breath we take. From that report, again, over damage from air pollution particulates, nanoparticulates, which is what geoengineering patents name specifically, and this article tries to hang this only on vehicle exhaust fumes, but we're talking about the same size particle used in climate engineering showing up in lab tests around the globe, can build up and damage blood vessels and stay in the blood system for months or longer, potentially raising the risk of heart attack, stroke, and other diseases, a new study shows. Final statement from that study. It was suspected that cardiovascular diseases leading to premature death are linked to polluted air, although it, until recently, was not clear how exactly it affected blood vessels. Of course, when you breathe radically polluted air, bad things happen. It's exactly what we're seeing. I want to continue. Lots of headlines to try to cover. Trump wants to arrest Julian Assange. I mentioned that last week. Here's Mr. Trump, the chameleon Mr. Trump, who's only a figurehead for the power structure. He's just a puppet dangling on the end of the strings, but a very dangerous puppet. And a chameleon who is now reversing everything he said he would do, including the global conflict that now looms over us all. But Trump wants to arrest Julian Assange after he praised Assange when he was still in the running for the election, correct? Here's a headline from last week that comes from The Independent in UK. There's a few of these to go through, so bear with me. This story connects directly with some of what I've already covered and what I'm about to cover. Here's the headline. Donald Trump to completely turn off EPA's data service on one of the government's most important websites where you can find information, right? This report states, this service is the government's biggest citizen-linked data tool and covers not just climate change, but people's health and environment. Remember the report I just read about the air particulate pollution that now is proven to cause a long list of diseases, including cardiovascular? But Trump wants to hide the public's ability to find data on such issues. Here's another headline, and this connects to the previous two or three that I've just gone over. Let's weave all this together. Here's the headline. Will Trump halt climate change through solar geoengineering? Question mark. From that report, scientists are in the midst of devising real-world schemes to inject 250,000 metric tons of sulfate particles. Remember the air pollution article? And by the way, let's look at real figures here, because the world's most recognized geoengineer didn't state 250,000 metric tons. He stated 20 million tons of aluminum annually to be injected into the atmosphere from jet aircraft. Look it up. Search David Keith, Dane Wigington, where I confronted the world's most recognized geoengineer. Please watch that 5-minute video, very short. It will shock you if you just search those two names online, one after another, David Keith, Dane Wigington. And you can see that that was their goal, 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulate particles. Continuing from this report about Trump's attempt to halt climate change through solar geoengineering, ejecting sulfate particles into the atmosphere in a desperate effort to reverse climate change. The idea has been around since the 1960s, has recently become a public favorite of prominent Republicans such as Newt Gingrich, Rex Tillerson, and even President Donald Trump. These people, all who deny that there's anything wrong with the climate, pushing for climate engineering to be done. The report continues, for Trump and many Republicans, solar geoengineering is an avenue to act on climate change without admitting it's caused by man, or more specifically, fossil fuels. Moreover, the process of injecting sulfates into the atmosphere does not also require governments and businesses to limit their use of fossil fuels. Keep business as usual, hide the damage done to the climate while tearing the Earth's life support systems apart and contaminating the entire web of life in the same process. That's what we're talking about here. And the example I've given in the past, I want to remind everybody of that again. Corexit in the Gulf of Mexico, used to hide the severity of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill, while making that situation, according to environmental impact reports, 52 times more toxic. Same mentality as the medical industrial complex to treat the symptom while making the overall body much less healthy in the process. More headlines. Donald Trump is slashing programs linking climate change to U.S. national security, going against our own military on that headline. From that report, over the last several decades, top government officials, including military top brass, have come to the view climate change as a national security issue is a number one priority. This conclusion was codified through recognition of the link by the Department of Homeland Security, the Defense Department, and the State Department, and the National Intelligence Council. Now, President Donald Trump, with nearly all the government's climate change work in his crosshairs, is poised to dramatically scale back environmental security programs, perhaps eliminating many entirely. And he's completely behind climate engineering, though. Try to make that fit together. Denying there's a problem, but yet willing to decimate the entire planet with climate intervention programs that have been going on for 70 years. So I'm not just blaming Trump, Obama, Clinton, both Bushes. We could go all the way back to 1945 when these programs were launched. Trump is simply the person in office right now who's ramping up these programs to even more destructive levels. Another headline. Trump is attempting to dismantle air pollution and radiation rules. All of these stories fit together, do they not? So as data comes out linking the particulate pollution to every human ailment one can imagine, horrible ailments, we have Trump trying to gut the source of information for the public to try to figure out what's going on and dismantle any air pollution rules because they don't want any monitoring done. And I can say from our legal efforts that are ongoing, and many people ask about this, and we're working on this every week with conference calls, every week with the attorneys, which I have, trying to navigate a legal system that has been designed to hide this massive atrocity in our sky that's dumping unimaginable amounts of highly toxic particulates into our breathable air column. The system has been set up to try to make it very difficult to bring this issue to light legally. We will find the key to that door, and we're working on that now with Freedom of Information Act, but it's not easy. And many people in the activist community think you just simply need to fill out a piece of paper and go file a lawsuit. No, that's not how it works. Because if you don't have a watertight boat when you file that lawsuit, that boat will sink 5 feet from shore, and then you've done more damage than good. We're building a boat with some very credible attorneys that will float, and one that will help us to bring this issue to light. So we're working on that. But we're working against a very, very formidable foe, the government of the United States, including the president, that is doing everything they can to make it not illegal to destroy the environment, pollute the air in any way you wish. So all these facts need to be remembered. We're up against a massive foe, but if all of us stand together, we can prevail. But right now the train is particularly out of control. From this report, Trump specifically instructed the EPA to begin dismantling the Clean Power Act, a law designed to get 47 states to slash greenhouse gas emissions from their coal plants. Now, one would think that the coal plants would have been concerned about the particulate pollution from the geoengineering, which they were being blamed for, but now they don't care because Trump is helping them not to care because he's eliminating any law being broken by anything anyone wants to put in the air. Stuff's not hard to see through for anyone who chooses to open their eyes. Another headline, TV Fukushima radiation alert, concern nuclear chain reaction could occur at plant. Reactors are still melting down and spewing radioactivity. Fuel has burned through containment vessel. Expert says it's unprecedented. This could have been equal to 12 Chernobyls. So let's consider all this. With Fukushima, the Fukushima disaster already at a level that could exceed 12 Chernobyls. And the report goes on to state this. A nuclear scientist tells us the cleanup at Japan's Fukushima plant could take 100 years. On this course, we won't be here anywhere near that long if we don't change directions. And let's also consider that there is no known technology to deal with what's happening at Fukushima. So with all that considered, the radiation that's spewing into the atmosphere, spewing into the oceans, that's back up to the headline I just read previously. President Trump's assault on the regulations of air pollution and his attempt to eliminate air pollution and radiation rules. So it's just not dangerous anymore. No rules, no laws, doesn't matter what the contamination level is. Trump is trying to eliminate any means for the public to deal with what they're being exposed to. That's what this administration's about. And former administrations, this one's just simply worse. What about our national parks? Here's another headline. President Trump's assault on the Antiquities Act signals trouble for national parks from that report. Without the Antiquities Act, that's now under attack by the Trump administration as part of its strategy to roll back environmental protections and open public lands to increase exploitation for coal, oil, minerals, we might never have had the benefit of the Grand Canyon, Olympic, or Arcadia National Parks. The attack on the Antiquities Act is an attack on all monuments and has huge implications for future presidents' ability to protect important sites in the future. No president has ever tried to revoke a predecessor's monumental designation before. And if that is the direction of the administration, the Trump administration is going, we owe it to future generations to fight this action and so many others. Another headline. This all goes together, so please try to remember these headlines as I link them together. Trump signs executive order to expand offshore oil and gas drilling in the Arctic and beyond. This plugs into his attempt to roll back protections for national parks. Let's just engage in an all-out, environmentally decimating free-for-all to scour any remaining resources that are left on the planet at the cost to all life on the planet, including geoengineering to help hide the damage done as long as possible, while we try to fuel the military-industrial juggernaut of total insanity until the last moment. From every direction, this is an absolute circus of insanity. Another headline. This all goes together. Fossil fuel industries pumped millions into Trump's inauguration. Filing shows. From that report, fossil fuel companies shattered records in raising money for Trump's inauguration festivities, according to new disclosures filed at the Federal Election Commission. Among those big donors were Chevron, Exxon, BP, and Citgo Petroleum. Is this any surprise? Does this not all go together? All about the money. All about power. And how much will that money or power matter on a planet that no longer supports life? And we are perilously close to that scenario. Another headline. Again, I want to link these together as fast as I can. Scientists consider brighter clouds to preserve the Great Barrier Reef. As if geoengineering has not been going on for 70 years already. The barrier reef almost completely dead. As bleaching devastates the critical ecosystem for a second year in a row, marine scientists are getting desperate. The Great Barrier Reef is, for all practical purposes, done. And an even bigger ecosystem that surrounds the south of Australia, the kelp forests, also 90% gone. That's where the fisheries are really occurring. So now we're talking about a loss of fish. We have fish going belly up all over the world. More headlines on that in a moment. But all of this goes together. And the attempt to completely gut any environmental protection, while we have the scientific community behaving very tyrannically in order to protect their paychecks and pensions, and in some cases their lives. So I don't fault them for that. We lost in 2015 four critical scientists who were the type to speak out. We had the top Arctic scientist state on the record that he felt they had been killed. He later recanted after he was probably warned. This is business as usual. So this is to be expected, their silence, and especially when we have federal gag orders on all National Weather Service and NOAA employees. But I would ask this of the academic community. How safe are you on a planet that is again dying by the day? At what point do you choose to speak out that we might yet have a chance to salvage what's left? Let's remember and consider, as I stated earlier, the Trump appointees are in full support of climate engineering to mitigate the rapidly unfolding climate disintegration, the abrupt climate shift that we are in right now. Let's consider, as I stated earlier, that the Trump administration says there's nothing wrong with the climate in the first place. So how can they at the same time support radically destructive climate intervention programs to mitigate or hide climate disintegration when they say it's not happening in the first place? How hard is it to see through that sort of smoke and mirrors? Shouldn't be that hard. And how is the weather, by the way? Because most people don't look past their own doorstep, their own situation. But let's go over a few points. While India, Africa, and Pakistan, and other locations around the globe have been as high as the mid-120 degree range since early April, many locations in the heavily militarized, industrialized first world nations continued to experience extreme weather whiplash. Cool downs, followed by record heat, followed by more cool downs. Here's an example. Since yesterday, there's been snow in New Mexico and Texas. While parts of Florida are pushing 100 degrees, Washington, D.C. is pushing 90, again, other countries pushing 130, and other regions in the U.S. are also 30 degrees above normal. Why is it snowing in Texas and New Mexico? Because it's being chemically ice nucleated. The patents exist for this process, and that's how the geoengineers are creating a cold, dense layer at the ground, making it appear that at least some regions are cool, chemically cool, but cool. And we have the whole meteorological community, climate science community, pretending this is all normal. Climate engineering programs are undeniably real and blatantly obvious to anyone that can shake off their program denial, do some real investigation, and find the courage to open their eyes and look up. More headlines. More in the state of our rapidly imploding biosphere. Here's the headline. Sea lions, dolphins, harbor seals, fur seals, elephant seals, loons, and cormorants, and brown pelicans, all dying in mass due to algae bloom in Southern California. It's happening all over the globe. From that report, National Geographic claims extreme algae blooms are happening worldwide. Certainly they are. We have the frontline news to prove it. Sea lions, dolphins, harbor seals, Guadalupe fur seals, elephant seals, loons, grebes, cormorants, and brown pelicans are among the species that have been most severely impacted. Final statement from that report. Algae blooms in North America are increasing on an extremely alarming scale. Why? Because we have massive UV radiation, because we have a destroyed ozone layer, because geoengineering has destroyed the ozone layer, amongst other factors, but that being the largest factor. We have anthropogenic damage that's too big of a list to even go into. Any form of human activity is a form of damage to the planet. It's a form of geoengineering. But we have the intentional climate intervention programs that are the worst of all. All of this combining to destroy what's yet left of Earth's life support system. I want to go through a few more headlines. I know this is dire, but we have to face this reality to help wake people up around us that their denial won't save them. They need to join us in the fight for the common good. Another headline, mass die-off ongoing along U.S. West Coast, TV statement from news anchor. It's just not clear why all the marine life is washing up like this. Reports coming in every day. Experts claim unknown organisms eating away brains, hearts, new infections never seen before. We have Fukushima radiation. We have radically heated oceans. We have seabed gassing going on of methane and hydrogen sulfide. We have plankton collapsing because we have massive UV and temperatures that are killing plankton. So we have the food chain collapsing. We have pollution from every direction. We have the Navy using depleted uranium for their war games, practicing off the North American West Coast. Is it any wonder everything's dying? Is it any wonder at all? Here's a headline from the Alaska Dispatch. Multiple sources all through this. And I encourage everyone, please don't believe me. Please look for yourself. You have a responsibility to do so. Here's from the Alaska Dispatch. Mass die-off of whales in the Atlantic is being investigated. It's about time somebody investigates something, but we'll see how far that investigation goes. Another headline. Louisiana's governor declares state of emergency over disappearing coastline from that report. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards has declared a state of emergency over the state's rapidly eroding coastline. Why? Because sea levels are rising rapidly, and they don't rise uniformly around the globe. You need to remember that. More than half the state's population lives on the coast. The declaration states, it adds, that the pace of erosion is getting rapidly worse. More than 1,800 square miles of land have disappeared in recent decades, including 300 square miles of marshland between 2004 and 2008 alone. Rapidly disappearing coastlines, poisoned oceans, dying organisms, and sea level rise from rapidly melting ice caps. That's what's occurring. Climate engineering making all of it worse, not better. Another headline, rapid warming and disintegration of polar ice sheet has set the stage for societal collapse. My DVD, a primary DVD, is Climate Engineering, Weather Warfare, and the Collapse of Civilization. Many people who want to keep their head in the sand didn't take that title seriously. You should, if you haven't yet. And now we have mainstream academic sources stating the same thing that we've been stating for how long at geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, to repeat that headline from a mainstream science source, rapid warming and disintegrating polar ice has set the stage for societal collapse. A reminder, as the planet continues to rapidly warm and the highly destructive climate intervention weather warfare assault continues to be ramped up in response, the drought, deluge, hot, cold, weather whiplash scenarios will rapidly worsen around the globe. Another headline, this one from the Washington Post. Scientists keep upping their projections for how much the oceans will rise this century. Because, as I've stated over and over, for example, about Al Gore's data, many people dispute that data, and I'll dispute it also, but in the opposite direction of what most choose to believe. Al Gore's data was far short of how bad things really are, and I don't like Al Gore. You can't do the kind of documentary films that he's doing and own stock in the same companies you claim to be fighting. That's total hypocrisy. You can't try to put out the data he's putting out and fly around in your private jet. Total hypocrisy. But all that being said, Al Gore's data is far short of how severe and immediate our situation is. Another headline. A new science study addressing public acceptance of climate engineering was released last week. Here's the title. Beliefs and values explain international differences in perception of solar radiation management. Insights from a multi-country survey. What are these surveys about? They're about trying to figure out how to sell climate engineering to the public when you can't hide it any longer. And when the public finds out they've all been a part of a grand and unimaginably lethal experiment without their knowledge or consent. And that's the kind of surveys we have happening now. And people in multi-countries are asked if they would accept such programs. And the answer is not what the power structure wants at the moment, because most people, when they're forced to face that kind of scenario, being sprayed with toxic particles from the atmosphere, if they really know what it's about, they really know the damage done, they're not going to go for that. And we need to expose climate engineering above anything else at this point to galvanize populations around the globe in a common cause. More headlines. Mass power outages last week. Did an extreme geomagnetic storm cause those outages? We don't know for certain yet, but we can say this. We think Fukushima's bad. Again, geoengineering destroying the ozone layer, destroying Earth's protective atmosphere. Now we're more susceptible to a CME, coronal mass ejection, or solar flare. If it knocks out grids around the globe, nuclear plants can't cool themselves. Now we have Fukushima times who knows how many. 100, 200, 300, game over at that point. Here's a headline from last week, this one from Climate Central. Quote, climate change is rewriting history books. There's not been a below average temperature. Listen to this. Please listen to this for all those who say the Earth's cooling, hasn't warmed for 20 years, all those that don't do any research and simply grab at a false headline and repeat it like it's fact. Here's the fact, and I challenge anybody to investigate this fact. There has not been a below average temperature month globally for 628 months. Think about that. And climate engineering is making that worse, not better. Short-term toxic cool downs in exchange for a worsened overall warming. Another headline. This is from the LA Times. The trees that make Southern California shady and green are dying fast. 10 years ago, when I really started to try to point out to people the trees were dying, few believed. Now it's impossible to ignore if your eyes are even slightly open. We have mainstream media starting to cover it. From that report, the trees that shade, cool, and feed people from Ventura County to the Mexican border are dying so fast that within a few years, it's possible the region will look, feel, and sound and smell much less pleasant than it does now. From a researcher, we're witnessing a transition to a post-oasis landscape in Southern California. This is from Greg McPherson, a supervisory research forester with the U.S. Forest Service, who has been studying what he and others call an unprecedented die-off of the trees in Southern California parks, campuses, and yards, and Redding, dying in Redding as well. Another headline. It's heartbreaking to see trees dying in such dramatic numbers in famously lush cities like Pasadena, Alhambra, and Arcadia. It's all over the planet. 3.4 trillion trees, 55% of Earth's trees that were here at the dawn of civilization are now dead. What happens when the environment implodes? I'm running out of time. I want to finish quickly. The economy must follow. For those who think that a fake fiat stock market will save them. Headlines. The retail bubble has now burst. A record 8,640 stores are closing in 2017. This is U.S. alone. These 19 retailers on the brink of bankruptcy. This headline states 13,216 stores will close. Stores are closing all over the country, but the fake stock market, the printed Fed fiat money Ponzi scheme is still convincing most people they're safe. Fear of bank runs and insolvency behind IMF's newest proposal for elimination of cash. The American empire under Trump has become increasingly desperate, dangerous, and insecure. All over the globe, when the environment implodes, the economies will follow. It can't not happen. Temperatures in many places, as I've stated, 120 degrees. Photosynthesis stops at 104 degrees. Crops are failing. Marine fisheries are completely imploding. The population's ability to feed themselves is waning all over the world. When people don't have enough to eat, chaos will erupt, and it's already starting around the globe. As I stated in previous shows again, our country importing tens of millions of dollars worth of food annually now to keep U.S. shelves stocked in order to keep the U.S. population pacified until the last possible moment. And unfortunately, as I've said so many times, so many people are all too willing to be pacified, to remain in denial, to keep their heads in the sand until the last possible moment. And for such individuals, I want to challenge their sense of responsibility to the whole. And I hope that they find their sense of courage, people with agencies, people in our military, people that we all know, our families, our friends, who refuse to face reality. Those who are trying to cling to the delusion as long as possible, please wake up. Wake up while there's yet time to make any difference. If we wait till we hit the wall, it's too late, and we are perilously close to that now. And the military-industrial complex, as I've stated for so long, as the biosphere implodes, as the severity of damage done to the planet, much of it from the military-industrial complex, climate engineering, so forth, as that becomes impossible to hide from the public, and the severity and immediacy of our situation becomes impossible to hide, and we are there in many ways already, global conflict will be the final card they play. And I want to state this again as I run out of time here. Yes, dire truths surround us on all sides. As the biosphere and Earth's life support systems implode, the military-industrial complex, again in countless countries, is consuming what is yet left of Earth's resources in order to build yet more weapons of mass destruction. We're truly swimming in a sea of desperation and unbridled insanity. But I would ask this also. Will hiding in denial save us? Will turning two blind eyes to such dire realities magically make them go away? We already know the answer. And only by finding the courage to fully face converging catastrophes do we have any chance of changing direction. What will each of us choose to do for the greater good today? Tomorrow will be too late. Make your voice heard. This is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org. Until next week.